This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
Adelphi Murders, who did it? I know a lot of people think we know who did it because we have a man behind bars, but that's not always the case. We put a lot of people behind bars that actually have never committed a crime. Sometimes the evidence just pointed to them. Sometimes there's over-the-top police investigations that are one-sided, very much with blinders on, and you get somebody there that should not be. Sometimes there's confusion, there's false alibis, there's all sorts of things, false confessions, you name it. I think after watching this, you may have some more questions about, did they put the right person behind bars if you're not already feeling that way? Stacey Cole, of course, here with us. And if you're watching us on YouTube, which you can now watch Murder in the Morning on YouTube on our Hidden Killers podcast channel, you can now see what Stacey looks like over there.
That's yep. Scary, huh?
You can now see what she looks like. Wait till the camera comes on. You're going to be like, who? That's not, wait, I'm kidding. What? I'm kidding.
No, she sounds a lot taller on radio is what I always heard. Because I'm a petite woman. So I've always heard, oh my God, you sound really tall on the radio is what I always heard. People always thought that I was like close to 6 feet. And I don't know where that comes from because I am nowhere close.
You are what?
So I'm officially 4'9".
Okay,
and that's what I expect that to, you know, with shrinkage in the next probably decade or so, that's going to change.
Oh, eventually you'll be 3 feet tall.
You know, I could hope because I could fit, you know, in the overhead compartment instead of having to buy a seat.
That's a big plus that you want to look into. Anyway, the investigation into this has certainly been questionable at best. And just the other night, Ron Logan is the ex of another character in this. Ron Logan's girlfriend is another character in this. Ron Logan is another character in this. Ron is the owner of the property where Abigail Williams and Liberty German's bodies were found. And initially he was looked at kind of. And when I say kind of, it's kind of like when you ask your kids to do the dishes and they kind of do them. You're like, there's all this stuff. Like you didn't really like, that's how I feel like that kind of went. The fact that they didn't look deeper into this guy with the amount of stuff that is on him that we're about to listen to and hear about, and some things that are just plain factual that were completely excluded from the case. I'm going to open up your eyes. And one of the big things to me that we're going to hear is the voice comparison of Bridge Guy to Ron Logan, something we haven't done yet. And it's startling to hear that. And watching him and watching a little bit of Bridge Guy, same sort of walk, same sort of gait, same sort of size. Even, you know, from what you can tell, the blurriness of the picture, I would guess it was Ron Logan any day over Richard Allen.
Tony, forgive me for interrupting, but I need to ask this before we watch any video here. Why haven't we had a gait expert, somebody who looks at the way somebody walks?
Good question.
Take a look at this, because we have used gait experts, and even maybe Robin Dreeke or Jennifer Coffendaffer would be able to expound on this a little bit. You can tell, like, if they've got footage of somebody, like a bomber, mm-hmm. you know, walking away from the scene after they've dropped a bomb, and then they get a suspect. I mean, we saw that with the guy in Vegas, Robert Tallis.
Yes. Well, I don't have a sure answer for you other than they didn't spend money on it.
Well, because they had their quote unquote killer.
Yes.
They had the guy they wanted.
For example, Koberger case. Brian Koberger is getting hundreds and thousands of dollars of taxpayer money to defend himself for these very expensive experts to come in and testify on his behalf. And they've blown a lot of it with experts that really aren't experts in some of the hearings already. But in this case, the judge didn't give him shit. So she tried to fire his attorneys. And then when they came back on, they had to do it pro bono because the court said, we're not going to give you any money. That's not railroading at all. Like, let's not remotely give this guy a chance at a defense. And then let's not let him defend himself in any way, shape, or form with all these other pieces of evidence and other confessions and other people who are actually there or who have, I would say at the least, you know, there'd be some probable cause to look into some of these folks. But that didn't happen because they thought they had their guy, or did they? We're going to take a look at some of the clips from Ashley's interview the other night on News Nation on Banfield. This is an initial piece of the conversation. Ashley's asking, you know, why are you coming forward now? What kind of made you think initially after you found out that these girls were murdered and their bodies were found on his property? What made you raise an eyebrow and want to say something? Let's take a look at that.
Yeah, I know his property. No, I'm just going with my gut feelings, just the kind of person he is, you know. He manipulated a lot of people. He manipulated my family, and it was hard to get away from him.
Now, being a manipulator and a shitty boyfriend, and we're going to find out soon, abuser, spoiler alert there, doesn't necessarily make one a killer.
No.
You may, you know, kind of, you start filling the tubes and like, okay, well, this person has a lot of issues, a lot of anger issues, control issues. And we're going to find out more to fill into that test tube. And eventually you kind of get to this overflow of information on this one person. You go, what's going on with this? It's overflowing. There's a lot of info here.
Well, he's starting to fit the profile, whereas everybody who talked about Richard Allen, he was a nice guy.
Yeah.
Dude worked in a pharmacy. He dealt mm-hmm. with elderly people all the time. They said he was very kind. Mm-hmm. It's a stark contrast between somebody who would violently murder two girls mm-hmm. and what we heard about him in real life. I mean, your coworkers see you at your worst. Mm-hmm. And if your coworkers are saying, yeah, he was a nice guy. I mean, Tony, you and I worked together for many years. We saw some horribly shitty people that yes. if they, you know, knock, knock, knock on the door and it's the FBI going, we need to question you about so-and-so. We'd have stories.
Yes, we would.
I'm having a hard time believing that Richard Allen is absolutely the killer. And he just didn't show any propensity to do something like this.
No, there's no evidence in his character profile. And when you sit there and you look at somebody's life arc and their history and what they do and just kind of their, you know, their steady line of life, there's not anything in Richard Allen's that deviates from that until this. Typically, someone who murders children at random in a field somewhere, there's usually a lot of this up and down in life, of a lot of bad decisions, a lot of tragedy, a lot of trauma, a lot of just horrible things. And then eventually that one lands. Doesn't exist. I mean, I challenge almost anyone to find a case where the killer that they can surely say is a killer ever had the line of just straight and narrow. Unless it was like a crime of passion or something like that, this was not that.
No.
But just somebody that went and murdered kids for no reason and has no past of any issues whatsoever. I don't know that it exists. Maybe, I'm sure it does probably somewhere, but it certainly is not common. And previous behavior is a pretty good predictor of future behavior.
Take a look at, Tony, take a look at Luigi.
Yeah.
You know, normal kid, but then in the last, what, maybe year,
mm-hmm.
he was on a downward spiral. He separated himself from his family. Mm-hmm. Family was worried about him. The signs were there that something is happening here. Yep. And it doesn't say he's going to go off and be a killer, mm-hmm. an alleged killer, but it says something has happened here where they are no longer on this straight path.
Yeah.
Something has changed. That's when things happen.
Well, add into the mix. We're going to learn a lot more about Ron Logan here in the next few moments. Add this to the mix. So you already kind of got, he's kind of a shitty guy. He's controlling. He's manipulative. Okay, so the test tube is filled up this much right now. We got to get to like this to kind of get something here. So let's add this to the mix. This is, Ron Logan's ex, Connie Dillman, speaking with Ashley Banfield on News Nation just the other night.
Can I ask you, did he ever have any interest in young girls? Did he show any predilection towards young girls when you were his girlfriend?
Yes. He sold a horse to a girl who didn't live too far from there. And she was 13, actually. And he was touchy-touchy with her, and she'd bring her horse, ride her horse over and stuff, and I just thought that was inappropriate. But I think I know we've gotten fights over that, you know? It's like, oh, I ain't hurt nothing. I'm just trying to help her out. And, you know, I don't know. It just didn't feel right with me.
If you're having disagreements with your spouse over his over-affectionate ways with a 13-year-old stranger, might be time to leave that relationship. That's disturbing. And this is just what she saw. I'm really curious, and I beg of anyone there in Delphi who knew Ron Logan, that knew kind of what he was up to, what his life was like, how he acted towards other people, to speak up.
Yeah.
And share what you knew, what he was like. Because, again, if we're looking at Ron Logan here too, this just doesn't happen in a vacuum. And we're starting to show kind of a trend here. So we fill the beaker up a little bit more with more liquid with that little tidbit of information. Let's go on to this next one. This is what, for me, initially puts it over the top of going, oh, he's totally capable of killing someone, far more than Richard Allen. This is actually her talking about the abuse that she endured. This is with Crime Nation a little bit earlier, I believe last year. Let's take a look.
One day, he had been working on putting a new door on a basement cellar, and I said I wanted to break it off with him. And out of the blue, he hit me over the head with the crescent wrench. And I remember taking off, running to my vehicle, and I remember falling to the ground. And I was afraid he was going to hit me again. So I was able to get on my hands and knees, and I crawled away. I got to my vehicle, and I was able to leave, and then I felt the blood running down my face. I barely remember the drive to the doctor's office, which is only a few miles to Delphi, and had seven staples put in my head. But I actually had went to my sister's after that. I'm lucky I got out of that situation, but it took a long time.
I have a prop. It's not a crescent wrench, but it's actually just had a wrench on my desk, I realized, while that was playing. So I'm not hitting anyone over the head with it. But just for example, I mean, look at this. I mean, it's a wrench. It's of the same sort of, size, if you will. I mean, the metal is the metal. If you were to use this, if I were to come up to you and hit you over the head with this, I wouldn't be sure that I didn't kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you walk into that, you do that. That would be a very real possibility that, you know, you could die. So the fact that he had the propensity to do that, to say, yeah, I'll hit her over the head, and just not knowing what could happen of that. That's not something everybody is capable of doing. Not everybody is capable of in anger, grabbing a blunt force object and striking it at someone.
The only time I could ever justify that is in self-defense. If somebody's coming at me. Yes,
that's justified. But either it's in you or it's not. It's like, either you're a rapist or you're not. It's just like there's nothing in a lot of people that will ever make them go be a rapist. It's just not in the equation. It's never going to compute as this is something to do. And I believe the same with this. I mean, again, unless it's self-defense or something of that nature. But the fact did that, and she then, you know, had seven staples in her head, it shows me Ron Logan's pretty capable of doing anything he wants.
He is. And my question to her statement of what happened to her, she went to a doctor's office, somebody stitched up that wound for her. Did they ask her how it got there? Was there a police report filed? Granted, I understand she was afraid of this man, and rightfully so. But is there a way that this could have been prevented? And I'm not victim blaming, but, you know, had she filed a report and him being arrested, maybe getting him off the street, could have prevented further catastrophes down the road with these two young girls that were, you know, snuffed out.
And it's a good question. It's something that, you know, is certainly out there. He did end up going to jail for a while for violating probation related to previous charges. And that may actually, he pled guilty to being a habitual traffic violator and was found to have been driving without a valid license, which was a violation of his term. So that's why he was in jail. It wasn't because of hitting her over the head with a crescent wrench. You'd think that might get you put away for a little while. Yeah, I agree. Had that been prosecuted more, although we're talking about Delphi, and Ron Logan has been at that property for a very, very long time, like 50-some years. It's a family property. He's been part of that community. And I feel like with the investigation, they didn't want to look at anything familiar. This is my conjecture. They didn't want to look at what's normal, what's in this community. Here's who they all are. It's a small town. They're looking for the odd duck. They're looking for something that doesn't play with what they're used to.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's this guy who's been in town for a little bit, Richard Allen, and they go after him, despite the girls' bodies being found on this guy's property and knowing his history as well.
On his property?
On his property.
On his property.
On his property. Yeah.
Forgive me for not knowing this.
Yeah, on his property.
Are you effing kidding me? He should have been the first suspect.
Well, they talked to him a little bit, but they said, "Nah, we don't got." I mean, and then it just kind of went on, and there was no further really investigation about Ron Logan, despite him continuing to talk about it in jail and giving a confession to an inmate.
What more do they need?
Well, I don't know. And my question is, where is the relationship here between the Delphi police, the investigators, the courts, and Ron Logan, and some of these other characters, and who's in between all of that? And is there a reason why you wouldn't want to put Ron Logan away for a very long time or charge him with something? Keegan Klein, for example, he in prison now for child pornography, and he also had plans to meet the girls on the very day that they died. He was communicating with one of them online through
a
friend.
What the hell?
And yet, we think it's the CVS guy. Yeah.
Okay. So could it be possible that the two were working in tandem?
Yes.
That, you know, creeps like to hang out with creeps.
There's a lot of possibilities here that seem to not have been looked into. And let's take a look at this. This is Bridge Guy, because I have more thoughts on that. But let's fill the beaker to overflowing now of insanity. So this is the voice comparison. This is from Crime Nation. And what you're going to hear here is Ron Logan, or first we'll hear Bridge Guy, and then we'll hear Ron Logan making a statement to a reporter at the time. Let's take a listen.
What do you hear on there?
Nothing that I recognize at all. No one. I don't recognize the voice at all.
Wow. That's your voice.
It's your voice.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, and think about this. And I always bring things back to animals, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
I know which cat's meowing.
Sure.
Like, and I've had 5 cats in my adult life. It recently, I'm like in the last 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And every single cat has a distinct meow. And I know exactly which meow belongs to which cat. I know when they're whining for food. I know all these things. When you are in a relationship with somebody, you're friends with somebody, you talk to somebody all the time, and you hear their voice, there's something in your brain that goes, I know who that is. Mm-hmm. I can identify that person. It's the same with smell. It's the same with sight. She knows exactly who that voice is. Don't fucking tell me she doesn't.
Yeah. It's very.
How is Richard Allen guilty of this crime? How did this go through our court system with evidence presented and a jury presiding over the case, and he is guilty and nobody else is looked at?
I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you ignore that, because that voice comparison, pretty good. And why didn't they do a voice comparison with Bridge Guy and Richard Allen? You simply had one officer on the stand who was like, yeah, that's him. That's Richard Allen. And they're like, they never questioned it. I thought the defense did a shitty job there too of not diving in deeper to that. Well, how do you know it's him? Because he doesn't. He was just speaking out of his ass. There was no testing. There was nothing behind that statement other than his own opinion.
Yeah.
So it'd be like me saying, Stacy, you sound a lot like Hulk Hogan. You're like, what? That's my opinion. And you're saying it in court, and like nobody's ever like compared the voices. People are like, oh, well, that's weird that she sounds like Hulk Hogan, but a police officer is saying it must be true.
You know, we have the capability working in media. If you are proficient at all at audio software, when you put waveforms into a platform, you know, whether it's your favorite song, you're screwing with it, you're going to try to isolate vocals, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. You're trying to, you know, make a weird ringtone or some crazy shit. Voices have inflections and movements in them that are identical no matter what, if it's the same person. There is a way, the FBI has so many ways of, they've got the software for this.
Yeah.
You know, you and I could do it on a Friday night.
Keep in mind.
It's Delphi.
Delphi pushed the FBI away.
Okay, so there has to be, allegedly, I'm going to say, something bigger at play here.
Yeah.
Are we dealing with like a Cousin Vinny situation, a Mayberry situation, a Murdaugh situation? Was this guy just so ingrained in the community that we can't go after him?
He really wasn't. He was kind of known as being a shitty person. But who knows what those connections are of being the good old boy that Ron Logan was.
Well, I owed his grandfather a favor back in the 30s, and
the only other thing that's coming to mind on this is, and again, this is utterly pure speculation. I have nothing to base this on other than just pure speculation, and I'm not naming any names or anything like that because I don't know. But I'm wondering if there's something going on here that was almost reminiscent of like what we're seeing in the case of the judge and the sheriff, where the sheriff shot the judge, and it turns out the judge allegedly likely was running kind of a brothel out of his chambers to give lesser sentences if people that were being charged would sexually please him. I'm not saying that that was going on like this, but with the kid thing and Ron Logan, from what we hear from the ex-girlfriend, kind of having a propensity to be touchy-feely with like little kids, like 13-year-old girls, which is creepy as fuck. Mm-hmm. If there's something there, and you got Keegan Klein, who also has been busted for child porn, the only thing that makes me think, is there more to these people? You know, are there more connections from these people that lead to law enforcement, that lead to, I don't know, leaders in the community or something, where if we were to investigate Ron Logan, or if we were to go after Keegan Klein for this murder, not just the things that they did wrong, like the traffic violation or his Keegan Klein's child pornography, if we were to go and add something else to that case, we'd have to investigate a whole different area. Who else would we see in that other area? And I think that might be our answer as to why they never went down those roads, because somebody somewhere, and it may not even be an officer of the law or anything, it may just be some person that has power and control in this community. And if they were exposed, they'd be held to pay for those who exposed them. So it makes me wonder. I mean, again, pure speculation, but there is a missing piece to this puzzle that makes little to no sense as to how they got over here with Richard Allen, despite all of these pieces of evidence. I mean, the evidence that points to these other people is stronger than other cases we've seen where people have been convicted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many things, but it was all just, no, not a big deal. We're going to go with the guy from CVS.
It does feel like there's something under the surface that we haven't, yeah. We and investigators have not seen. And again, you saying that the FBI was turned away for this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me toss this out there. Hey, Innocence Project.
Oh, I would. Yeah, I would imagine this is going to end up on one of theirs, without a doubt. But we're just at the very beginning stages right now. This is the X again. This is Connie Dillman speaking with Banfield the other night, talking about eventually, you know, she's away from Ron. They're not together anymore. But the girls were murdered and she hears about it and she finds that it was on his property. She calls the tip line. And here's what happens.
Actually, when I called in the tip line, I didn't get a call back. So I reached out to our local sheriff's department, and actually, they came here. They heard my story.
And didn't do anything about it. But I love that she called the tip line four times and had to be the active one going out and trying to provide information before they actually did anything. So she raises her
tip line, then, yeah. Is it?
So she raises her hand and says, hey, I know you're looking for tips. I want to throw this out to you. Here's what I know about the guy whose property the dead girls were found on. And she spills it. She spills all this stuff about him. And they then decide to go after the guy that works at CVS that went for a hike that day and says, I can help too. I was out there. Let me tell you anything I know. You. It's you. Despite everybody else saying, hey, look at this guy. Look at this guy. These are a lot more likely. Bad investigative work that then just keeps piling on and snowballing over and over and over because nobody wants to admit they were wrong and made a bad choice about who they went after in this. Maybe. Again, or is there something else? This is not cut and dry by any means. And I am convinced it is not Richard Allen that did this. It doesn't make any sense. And by the way, Ron Logan confessed.
I think, you know, once you're off of alcohol, you know, you dry out a little bit, you know, you can get a guilty. You know, you needed somebody to talk to. I think probably even broke from that. Oh, and maybe he trusted that guy. You know, he wasn't going to be out of prison for quite a while. So, you know, I mean, what did he have to lose? You know,
And her Zoom connection to Ashley sucked, by the way, with the audio. That was her dropping out. It's not us. You get the point across there. So he's stone cold sober and he is confessing in jail. Meanwhile, you have Richard Allen mentally being tortured, being stuck in a room for 23 hours a day with no communication, having guards taunt him, not allowed to speak with his attorneys, and eventually heavily medicated on psychotropic drugs. And he just starts saying, I killed them. I killed them. And then he writes a note that looks like it was something out of Romper Room. And, oh, see, look at this. This is the hard evidence. He's highly medicated. This guy couldn't sign a legal document right now if you wanted him to. He couldn't buy a Chevy if he wanted to right now. It would be deemed not admissible because he's under the influence of a psychotropic drug. And he's been tortured. So, yeah.
Yeah, and
that may drive you to say, I did it to get out of whatever the hell you're enduring.
And that's what hostages do.
Yes.
I mean, we've heard people talk about it. I'm pretty sure Robin Drake talked about it, that, yeah. You know, when you're under duress, you'll do whatever you have to do. People who are trained in the military, they're the ones who have the training of how, yeah, to deal with those situations that average citizen does not.
No.
If you are put in that situation, you don't know how to react. You're just going to go, okay, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just make this stop.
You know, that's a really good way of putting it. Essentially, Richard Allen was a hostage.
Yes.
When they brought him in.
He wasn't even convicted at this point.
No. He wasn't even looked at this point.
it terrifies me that, you know, we are in the United States of America. You know, we have a lot of foreign listeners, foreign to us because they're not in the country in which we reside. Mm-hmm. But our standards in this country is that you're innocent until proven guilty. Yes, you can be jailed, but this man was incarcerated. This man was imprisoned. He was treated as though he was guilty before he ever went to trial.
We like to think that that's how our system is supposed to work. And in theory, it is. And so you have a bunch of people who don't want it to work that way and want to do it their own way. And guess what? There's no accountability for those people if they want to change the rules midway through. It takes a lot to get in there and change anything if this is the way that freight train is moving in Delphi, Indiana. There, you can start doing things really without, you know, any sort of roadblocks, without any sort of bumpers on your system, if you choose, if you're in a certain place of power. And I think that's really what we had going on here. Now, the motive, the reason why Richard Allen was railroaded the way, I don't know the answer to that. There's a lot of, and I've expressed many of them here, a lot of possibilities, but there is something else going on here. Someone else killed those girls. He may be dead now, so we may not know much more about this, but God damn, can't we at least get a competent investigation into this, get at least a fair trial where the jury gets to hear evidence that defends Richard Allen, that points to his innocence, not a bunch of gibberish where like half the testimony about the white van wasn't even accurate. It actually kept changing throughout the trial. And Judge Gull was not standing up saying, we have to throw this testimony out because it's constantly contradicting itself. No, just say whatever you want to say and let that jury go. I don't know. There is something very bizarre going on in Delphi. And the people who are leading it are winning the game because they got away with that, whatever this is, and they don't want more attention. They don't want anybody to know what might be going on behind the curtain because somehow magically they have pulled this off and they feel good. They think they got their guy, or at least a lot of the citizens there think they got their guy, because in the community like that, you want to think you did. You don't want to think that there's something shady and bizarre going on amongst you. The scary part is, watch this show a little bit longer. You're going to find a lot of shady and bizarre things go on in small towns if you didn't already know that. So, I don't know. I think anything's possible. I think the roadblocks are up in most places where a lot of the answers can be found, but there is nothing stopping the citizens of that town other than their own fear or maybe intimidation from speaking up and saying what they truly do know about some of these other characters that certainly look like they were involved in this. Ron Logan, Keegan Klein. There's others, too, that are free. But we don't look at them. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And when something doesn't make sense, you don't have the full story. And that's why we are where we are today with Delphi, because we don't have the full story.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.